Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for July 20th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me this lovely evening, is Jim Allen. How's it going, man?
I sense a bit of irony in that expression.
Ironing? No, I don't do any more ironing. I send all my clothes out.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I thought, you know, you weren't giving me a jab for failing to wake up this morning when we were supposed to tape.
I would never do that.
I know you wouldn't. You're my buddy.
Never.
It is. But I would never get up. I 5 seconds, my alarm went off, and by the time I went to turn it off, I was already back asleep.
That's Muhammad Ali type quickness, man.
It was sleep like a bee, baby. It was three seconds and I was out.
All right, well, we didn't have any games on Sunday evening, and we were going to tape on Sunday morning, but it's Sunday evening and we're taping now. So on this week's show, we've got an interview with Zealous Wheeler of the Eagles. We're going to talk about Shogo Akiyama's hitting streak, the All-Star games, and take a look at each of the league races. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, first of all, I have an apology to Hirofumi Yamanaka and his family and friends for getting his name wrong. If any of you listen, I'm sorry. I called him Yamakawa for some reason.
And I knew who you were talking about, and it just slipped right past me like a backdoor slider. I didn't.
Well, it's sort of like he's the only submariner in the Central League, so it's kind of easy to figure out who it is. But
yeah.
I didn't know who this guy was when the Swallows got him last year in a trade. I'm going, okay, this guy's done nothing.
Yeah. Well, I know you sometimes like those fringy guys anyway, so I knew exactly who you were talking about. So
I do.
So
we don't like fringy guys. I like undervalued fringy guys.
Well, yeah, undervalued fringy guys. Good. Well, I should have caught it, and I didn't. So, thank you.
That's your bad.
Yeah, it's our bad.
Okay.
I don't think we're on the same page. But anyway, all right, so I went out on Wednesday, and I went out to Cebu Prince Dome, the Prince we like to call it, and got a chance to sit down with Zealous Wheeler. He's 28. He's from Alabama. And he was also a pretty good high school linebacker in football. Ooh. Yeah, and he's built like one, so that makes sense. This is his first year with Rakuten. He spent some time with the Yankees. His first hit in the major leagues was a home run. But he's basically a line drive hitter. He kind of reminds me, because he's not hitting that well at the moment this season, but he kind of reminds me of a Lonzo Powell type line drive hitter. And some of his line drives kind of just keep going out, and he, you know, sometimes hits with some power. But the problem has been for the Eagles, or one of the problems has been, that he and Gabby Sanchez and Willie Pena, they have not combined to maybe match or get close to what Casey McGee did when he was with the Eagles in that one championship season. And, you know, Wheeler had a home run on Wednesday, the day I interviewed him, and the Eagles won in extra innings, but he's hitting less than 300, and he's basically kind of like the Brandon Leard situation with the Fighters. He's just struggling and searching and trying to find some consistency. But he's got an adjustment that has been ongoing and long. But let's listen to what he had to say.
All right, joining us on the show this week is Zealous Wheeler with the Rakuten Eagles. We appreciate you sitting down and taking the time, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
And it's nice meeting you. Nice talking to you. Now, how's your first year in Japan going, and what is different that you're experiencing now than the expectations that you had before you arrived?
Japan, it's fun so far, but it's been a rough first half for me. I've been up and down in the minors 4 times. You know, really haven't had the opportunity to play the show what I'm all about. But, you know, the time will come, and keep working. And, you know, my expectation coming in was, you know, come here, you know, and play good baseball, experience Japanese baseball. So far it's been, I mean, it ain't easy what everybody think it is. It's a pretty tough league, good players here and there, but overall it's getting better.
Now, we know that Japanese pitchers have really good control, and they pitch backwards all the time. So what adjustments have you made in either your stance, your hands, your approach? What are you doing?
Nothing different, you know, because I played in a similar league like this in the Winter Ball of Mexico. They basically do the same thing, pitch backwards, you know, try to get you out in a different way than the States. But, you know, it's still just a period for me adjusting to the game here, you know, because it's a lot different. They make a lot of moves, et cetera, et cetera. But
you mean during the game?
Yes, during the game. But, you know, overall, it's getting better. I'm adjusting.
All right. So you mean taking guys out, including yourself?
Right. You know, bunting, the bunt defenses, and you know, it's a lot going on out there that people normally don't see, but it's a lot different.
Yeah, from like if the first guy gets on, they start bunting in the first of the game. Right. All right, you got a rookie manager, Dave Okubo, who had some success as a player. So how have you seen him developing through the season? Because I know things are changing all the time in baseball. How are you seeing him change with the flow here?
Right. You know, it's progressing slowly, but I see good things happening. But, you know, right now we're struggling as a team. We know we're trying to, you know, keep fighting. You know, it's a long season. You never know in the second half what the Eagles can do. But, you know, just come out and play hard, work hard every day. And it's a game of baseball. Anything can change at any given moment.
I know that. Now, what's the philosophy on the bases? Because I noticed right away, and I noticed this because obviously you weren't here. Last year he took over for a short stint, and, you know, he was really aggressive. And it seems like you guys have a philosophy that's very aggressive on the base path.
Right. You know, that philosophy coming in spring training, you know, when I first got here, said we're going to run a lot. You know, that's the manager game plan. That's what he's going to do, and that's what players have to, you know, buy into the game plan, you know, and try to get the job done. But, you know, we haven't been successful like we wanted to be in the first half. That means we got work to do, you know, just keep it going.
What other ways are you guys being aggressive in terms of maybe at the plate or on the defensive side that we don't really see?
Nothing else, I don't think. You know, like I said, I've been up and down, so, and when I'm here, I'm not playing as much, but as far as I see, you know, just stay aggressive, and sometimes aggressive win the game, sometimes aggressive lose the game, but that's baseball, so just go from there and keep working.
So nothing specific, like if you get 2-0 counts, we want you swinging aggressively, or 2-1 counts or anything like
that? No, nothing like that.
That's just my take on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Kazuo Matsui, I talked with him just a second ago, and he told me that the whole team has a really good mixture of young and veteran players, too. What do you see for the team going forward in terms of, you know, next year and the year after? Who are some of the players we should look at?
You know, there's quite a bit of players out there, you know. Well, I like Taishi.
Mm.
Nakagawa. I call him Taishi. You know, I don't call him guys by the whole name because it's good, difficult. Yeah. But, you know, you got a couple guys, Nishida, Okajima, you know, been battling injuries. But we got the farm system is pretty good here. People don't really see much of those guys. But I've been down there playing with those guys in here, too. But got a good group of guys, man. You know, they just got to keep putting forth work in and just keep grinding.
One guy I wanted to ask about, and I forgot to tell you a second ago, was Yuki Matsui, the closer. What have you seen from him that, obviously it's your first year looking at him, and he's still a teenager.
Right.
What are you seeing in him this year?
Bulldog. You know, when I first saw him, he's a bulldog pitcher. You know, never going to give in. He's going to attack. You hit him. There it is. You hit it. But overall, I like his aggressiveness, and keep it going. He should have success.
Okay. Now, how much did you know about Shogo Akiyama of the Seibu Lions? He had a long hitting streak. How much did you know about it before last night's game?
I didn't know much about it because I really don't watch baseball off the field, you know. So once we play the guys, that's when I hear about it. I heard about it last night on the bench. And the crowd was...
During
the game. And the crowd was very loud when he started hit. So I knew it was something going on, and my teammates told me, you know, it's good hitting streak. I guess it came to an end last night, they say. But he's hitting 380 something, so he's doing fine, man.
It makes sense that he's hitting every day because he's got that high batting average. What's the mindset when you're playing against a team where a guy's got a record going like that?
It's no mindset. You know, just approach the game the same way. You know, you try to get your opponent out every time they get up in the box. So Norimoto did a great job last night of that, and, you know, he didn't get any hits.
Yeah, we see that, yeah. It was a hard game to watch, even as somebody who's supposed to stay fair and stay neutral. I'm watching, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be at the ballpark on Wednesday. I want to see a record. All right, so you guys are having your struggles as a team, like you said, but what's your take on the Pacific League as a whole?
Oh, it's very good, man. I think this league is stronger than the other side. But, you know, SoftBank is a very strong team. You know, there's some good teams, but hey, we can compete with anybody here. You know, we just got to get things going, you know, get confidence as a team, and we'll be fine.
You mentioned, you pointed out SoftBank, so I'll bring it up. What makes it really hard to face them? Because they have like 90,000 pitchers, and they start them all at different times of the season. So it's not like you see a guy and you see him again, you know, the next month.
Right.
What makes them so hard?
I don't know. You know, they put the spikes on just like we do. But what I see when I play against them, and they got great chemistry. You know, they're having fun out there. You know, everybody having success on the season. So it's just a roll of, you know, trickle effect. One guy hit, the next guy got a hit, the next guy going to hit. You know, good hitting team this year. So they're approaching the game. They play hard, and they're having success in the first half.
All right. You more of a hot weather hitter or a cold weather hitter?
Hot weather. Where I'm from, Alabama, hot.
All right. Well, it's hot now, so we expect you to get warm up.
Yeah, I'm trying, man. I'm working hard at it. You know, baseball is not easy, you know. You just got to come out here and prepare the white right and go from there.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, man.
All right, Zealous, thank you very much for sitting down with me. Appreciate it, buddy.
It's good to hear from you. I've told people I saw his first game. I watched his first game in MLB when he was with the Yankees. And the reason I was watching is because it was either Masahiro Tanaka, but I think it wasn't Tanaka. I think it was Hiroki Kuroda was pitching. So I remember him playing, and I remember the Yankees announcers going on about this guy having played 8 years in the minors.
Mm.
And I had high hopes for him this season, as I said.
I remember you talking about that in the preview show.
So I've been disappointed that he's not been able to make all the necessary adjustments. But that almost sums up the entire Eagles team this year.
So I know it's going slow for him. It's going slow for the whole team. You know, they're all not doing well. But what stood out in the interview for you?
Well, I learned a couple of things. One, that Zealous Wheeler is a patient guy because, you know, he just believes things are going to work out.
Mm. Well, and two, aren't they all, though? I mean, you hear, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I mean, teams that are struggling or teams that are in the lower half, let's say, of the standings, or even if they're in third place and they think they should be in first, they always say there's still more time. We can do this. We can get this done.
Well, I think not so much the team as for himself. He thinks things are going to turn around for himself.
I can believe.
Yeah, well, I think so, too. And I think I picture a guy who was in the minor leagues for, you know, a huge portion of his life. And I think he's got to have faith in what's to come. So whether faith or belief or confidence, what you call it, let's just say he's a really patient guy.
Okay.
Now, that was one thing I learned. And the other thing I learned is that the expression "put spice on it" is something I really like. I never heard it before, but I like it. Okay, so that's two things.
Okay.
Now, the other one, I guess this is not something I learned, but, you know, his talking about the Hawks. You know, the Hawks are a good team, but we can compete. And that's certainly true in a sense that it's not impossible. You know, the talent deck is so far stacked against the Eagles that the odds are not in their favor. But having said that, you have to think you can beat everybody you play.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't belong on the field. You got no business being there.
That's right.
So, you know, go out and compete and see how see how things fall for you, because you could be better. You know, you could be better than you think you are, and they might not be as good as you think they are. So, you know, why not go out and compete? So, I enjoyed that bit.
I know they're very. I see where those comments came from, and you know, that's not exactly what I expected as a response, because you look at the Hawks and you know they're talented. You know, I'm looking at the Eagles and I'm like wondering what it is that they have to do. What are the things that they can correct to be a better team? But the thing that stood out for me was, and I found it kind of cryptic and yet telling at the same time, was that he said that the things with Hiromoto, Dave Okubo are progressing slowly.
Okay.
And to me, you know, obviously it's a first-year manager, and I'm sure things are evolving and maybe changing more than we know, and there's a lot of evolution that goes on in the process, and everybody's learning. But it seemed to me that he was saying, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, obviously, that
but it's, you know, fine.
There's a learning process that's going on. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't have too much to say about Hiromoto Okubo in the context of his managing Rockton, because to be honest, and oddly enough, I think I've probably watched on TV about a half dozen Rockton games this year. I haven't seen him in the park. and it's just an odd coincidence. One thing I thought was interesting, and I didn't mention it a moment ago, is Yuki Bulldog Matsui.
Yeah, the bulldog.
What a change, you know, from a guy who thought every pitch had to be on the corner, every pitch had to be perfect, and he was walking 10 guys per five innings, yeah. You know, when he started as a starter. And, you know, the team, I think this happened when Hoshino was out. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember whether it was Yoshinori Sato who made the change to put him in middle relief, but I think it was Okubo.
The pitching coach who's now with SoftBank.
Yes.
Right.
Who put Matsui in middle relief and now to a closer this year. You know, those have been really good. Those have been effective. You know, I think eventually they'll make him a starter probably next year.
I understand that that's the plan, and I didn't get a chance to ask Okubo. He was talking to Nishi. The former Giants.
Toshiyuki. Oh, okay. And, maybe Nishi wants some of the Eagles on the Japan under 12 team that he's the manager of.
Probably some of the Eagles. Maybe their children.
Could be.
Some of the Eagles. You're mean. Okay.
And get Clutch or something.
Yeah, Clutch. They need somebody Clutch. But, you know, I knew there was no sense of pressing him on the issue anyway, because I know he's not going to say anything bad about the manager and the skipper and maybe some of the head shaking that's going on and the strategies. But, you know, to put that in context, everybody experiences head shaking moments about Japanese baseball when they first get here, no matter who the skipper is. Hmm. So, I don't think it's a reflection so much on Okubo himself. It might be some of it about Japanese baseball in particular, in general. But, you know, the other thing I couldn't believe, I was absolutely floored that he didn't know about Akiyama's streak.
Well, yeah, I guess that if, you know, in like he doesn't watch, I thought it was more interesting that he doesn't watch games when he's not on the field.
Well, I can understand that. I've heard that before from other players. But.
Well, yeah, but he's on the farm team all the time. So it's like I'm going, oh, what else have you got to do,
at night in
Yamagata.
In Yamagata out in the country. Yeah, you know. That is kind of odd, but still, I've heard that before from guys
okay.
who don't want to have anything to do with it. You know, they want to focus on them and they want to do them.
Fair enough.
It doesn't matter what the other guys are doing because it's not going to help them to.
Well, eventually, to watch essentially anyway. True. Essentially true.
Plus,
okay, so
plus if you don't speak Japanese, if you don't speak Japanese, you can put the blinders on. You don't put the TV on, and you can't read the newspaper. And you would not find out about it unless you went to seek that information. So I can understand it. But it was just, you know, I sat there, my jaw kind of dropped. You didn't know at all. And he found out on the bench during the game because everybody's screaming whenever the guy comes up. That was just weird to me.
Well, I can see if he's not watching TV that he wouldn't know. So that, yeah, okay.
So in terms of the Eagles now, they're in fifth place. They're 36-43 here at the All-Star break. You know, I would look at them and say that they're leaking from so many holes. It's just hard to count and try to stop.
Wow, talking about the Eagles' holes, jeez Louise.
Too few runs scored. They're 266 runs. That's the lowest total in Japan. They don't allow an abundance of runs, but they're in a pitcher's park, so I don't give them that much credit for that. Only 48 home runs. That's last in Japan. I'm sorry, that's 11th in Japan out of 12 teams. Last is the Hapless Dragons at 41. So it's no wonder they try to steal all these runs and try to steal bases. And I looked at the stolen bases, and they've stolen 77 bases. And I thought, oh, that's a good number. And then I looked up at the Fighters, and the Fighters have more. So it's not like they're really doing a great job of stealing bases. Their percentage isn't that great.
Nope.
They've got problems. They don't hit the home runs. They don't. I also saw on the Newell data site that they've only hit one three-run home run all season. So even their home runs when they get them, they either solo home runs or you know with a man aboard or something. They're just not producing.
I think they got problems. Is the night you know.
The understatement of the year so far?
No, but it's almost like sugarcoating it. I looked at the Eagles, and I don't watch them a lot, so I was looking at this and then trying to figure out what they might be good at. And I'll tell you what they're good at straight off the bat was their pitching is much better than it was last year.
You know what? And this has been for a few years, even when Masahiro Tanaka was there, my whole image of them was that, you know, the guys they bring in out of the bullpen, don't bring them too close to open fire.
Okay.
But this year,
overall,
their reliever. Well, this year their relievers have a 2.73 ERA, and that's right behind the SoftBank Hawks for number two in the league. Mm-hmm. It's the starters who really aren't getting it done. Their ERA collectively is 3.57. So I mean, almost a full run.
Okay.
And they're not throwing a lot of innings, so they're giving up more runs and fewer innings. You got a problem there as well. Let's put it that way.
Well, the thing, what they do is they strike people out and they don't walk guys, which is really important. I'd shudder to think what they're sort of like. Well, they're not even, but I'm thinking they're good. Overall, you know, they have had some good starting performance, but the starting has gone from being really good to really bad. It's we've seen a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
it's sort of the Pacific League version of the Yakult Swallows. But the problem is the defense is just horrible. It's just terrible.
Yeah, I saw the 59 errors, but I didn't look at the double plays and.
I run down my Eagles thing here. It's like, okay, I think it's a toss-up between the Eagles and the Marines as who are the worst team in the Pacific League. I mean, okay, they're bad at turning balls into outs. They're bad at turning double plays. They've struck out 511 times this year, which is this is a good thing. Second fewest in the Pacific League. But they have the league worst on-base percentage, the league worst slugging average, the league's worst batting average. They lead both leagues in errors. They lead Japan in wild pitches and balks. They lead Japan. Oh, here we go. They lead the Pacific League in sacrifice hits. Oh, and here's the good thing.
Here's the good thing.
And here's the good thing. They're fourth in the league in walks, which means they're not last.
Which means they're not last.
And for that team, that's saying something. Okay, I'm going to give you three numbers. 105, 748. That's the numbers of doubles, triples, and home runs they've hit. Those are all the fewest in the Pacific League.
Yeah.
They've allowed 134 doubles, which is second most in the Pacific League. They've allowed 18 triples, which is second most in the Pacific League. They've allowed 64 home runs, which is third most in the Pacific League. But like I said, they do strike out people and they don't walk. As you said, the bullpen in ERA 2.77 is lower than the league 3.24.
Mm-hmm.
The starters is a little higher, 3.57 to 3.52. As for their playing in a hitter's park,
I think they're playing in a pitcher's park.
A pitcher's park, you said. We've got 3.55 runs scored per nine innings in their home games. Okay?
Okay.
On the road games, 3.57. So basically it's a neutral. It's a neutral park. So it's not helping them. Being league average in a neutral park, I'd say their starting pitching is a little worse than average, but not a ton.
Yeah. Well, I just based
the innings. The innings might be a little low.
Well, I mean, we can see why they don't have a very consistent offense. I think with the numbers that you gave us in terms of that, and on the pitching side, Norimoto he symbolizes what they have been all season on the mound. Sometimes he's really good, and sometimes you really don't want to see him out there.
Yeah, I mean they've had good stretches, but I think Kenny Ray was really. Really good a couple of games, and then
early on he was really good.
Sure, and then he was kind of mediocre a couple of games, and they scored a lot of runs for him, and he had a good record, and he had a decent ERA, you know. But then he disappeared, and a couple of other guys. Kikuchi's been, had a stretch where he was quite good.
Kikuchi's good for a couple of games every year, and then people catch on to his game, and then he's
well,
gone.
You even remember him. Couldn't remember. Who's this guy, Kikuchi?
Yeah, he's right-handed, so he's easy to remember.
Okay, he's not the left-handed Kikuchi or the second baseman Kikuchi.
The hard-throwing one. No, he's not.
Okay.
Yeah, they've had their problems, and like I said before, there's so many holes that it's hard to know where to fix them. But if, again, they're not completely out of this thing, and if somebody gets hot, if one of those guys, Sanchez, Willie Moe, Zealous himself, if they start to hit and hit for some power and drive in some runs, it could change the way their direction a little bit and move them up in the standings. But I still don't see them as a playoff team, and they've struggled the whole year basically.
No, I don't see them. I see them finishing like 30 games out.
30 games out. All right, let's make a transition over to the hitting side and talk about Shogo Akiyama of the Lions and his hitting streak, and it was snapped on Tuesday at the number 31. And so he ended up tied for the third longest hitting streak in MPB history, one shy of the longest in the PL, which was held by Atsushi Nagaide of Hankyu, and two shy of the all-time record held by Yoshihiko Takahashi of the Hiroshima Carp. Mm-hmm. And he struck out that night. It was snapped on Tuesday night at the Prince. He struck out, lined out, popped out to short, and then skied out near the line and near the warning track and left. And then he walked in the 10th inning after a blown save. And I was sitting there watching this game, and I'm thinking, man, I'm not a Lions fan. I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm just watching baseball, and I want to see Akiyama get this record. So the only way is for Takahashi, who's been really good, and I really like him, the only way is for him to blow that save. And I'm like, you know, he did. He blew the save chance. He got him to the next inning. He got the third out, got him out of the inning tied. And I thought, well, this is really meant to be. And I continue to watch, of course.
I wasn't even watching.
Oh, you're killing me.
Well, it was my rare day off. And I forget what I was doing.
All right, so you know, the chances that Takahashi would blow the save, you know, I thought were really low, and so he did. So anyway, I thought it was fate, and that's the beauty of competition, and that's the beauty of baseball.
Okay, fair enough.
Because it's like the greatest reality show on earth. You can watch, you're captivated, it's live, and nobody ever knows exactly what's going to happen, even if you think you do.
Well, that's, you know, that's what makes it and it fun. I mean, it's not pro wrestling.
Hashtag.
Pro wrestling, you know, is about the inevitable drama. You know, the drama leading to the inevitable. This is the drama that, you know, that's part of it. And the other part of it is that for records to have meaning, and I don't want to talk about this too much, but for records to have meaning, they have to be, you know, nobody cares what the longest professional record winning streak is, because it's predetermined. You know, it's not part of the competition. It's part of the show. It's like, you know, it's more interesting to say what's the longest running Broadway play, because that has more to do with reality. But to say that somebody did this or hit this many home runs in games that aren't rigged, you know what I'm saying? As being part where somebody's trying to win the game and not necessarily compile a record, although in Japan and in America that gets blurred sometimes.
No, I don't know what you're saying. You're talking about Broadway, you're talking about sports. I'm all mixed up here, but you're all over the place. You're out of control, Jim Allen.
I'm just sitting right here. I'm not all over the place. Well, I mean, I'm big, but
I'm
looking, I don't.
You weren't watching the game, so I'm looking at. I'm watching the 10th inning. And the leadoff guy, another Shogo, Saito, leads it off. And I thought, man, don't you dare get on first base. Because if you do, I know that the skipper, Norio Tanabe, is going to have Akiyama bunt.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the 10th inning.
Hmm.
I said, don't you dare get on first base. You either double, and don't homer either. Because
he might have him bunt if he's on second.
That's true, too. But I thought the chances, I mean, you have a 380 hitter at the plate, you might as well have him swing.
But when he was, you know, when he was about 25 games into the, or 22 games into the hitting streak, Tanabe had him bunt and was asked after the game and said, well, there's no guarantee he's going to get a hit.
Yeah, there's no guarantee he's going to get a bunt. But yeah,
either.
We talked about that. Yeah. So Saito makes it out, and I was thrilled because I'm like, okay, he didn't hit a home run and he didn't get on first base. So that's perfect. Mm-hmm. And then Akiyama comes up and he swings at the first pitch, which was around the plate, but it dropped out of the strike zone. He got fooled. You can't blame him for that. But then he was patient. And, you know, basically I wrote in my blog post that he made the ultimate sacrifice because they were throwing him. It was just like what you talked about on the show last week. He wasn't chasing pitches, mm-hmm. and he wasn't about to start then. They had lost four games in a row. He actually needed to get on base somehow, and he worked a walk. And it was really
good for him.
Yeah, it was good for him, but bad for the record. And I talked.
Yeah, but again, that's the point. He was out there to win games and not get records, and I love him for it. More credit to him.
And I talked to Ernesto Mejia the next day on Wednesday when I went out before I did the interview with Zealous. And I said, man, you know, what was that like when you guys were watching the game? And he said, oh, man, I was nervous. You know, I was a nervous wreck. I wanted him to get a hit so bad. We all wanted him to get a hit real bad. He said, but the object is to win the game.
Mm.
And, you know, Ernesto was saying, look, we were sitting there and he was thinking in his head, well, if he doesn't get a hit in the 10th, he's probably going to come up again in the 12th. We could get him up again. That was the mindset, he said. People were thinking that way. They think, well, we can get him up to the plate again. So, but anyway, Ernesto ended that conversation by saying that's why it's a record, and that's why it's a record. They're really, really hard to break.
Yep. And the point is, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for drawing a walk. And as I said last time, he ate Ichiro Suzuki. Because I would guess Ichiro Suzuki would be up there to get a single. And he'd be swinging at pitches out of the zone to get a single.
Yeah, pitches that he thought he could whack it by somebody.
That's right.
Even if it's a low and away, he would.
Yeah, swing at it. if it was 3-0, and you throw him a pitch out of the zone, he'd go after it. But if he thought he could hit it.
That mindset for him is more about, well, I need to hit to help the team, or is it just that I need to hit?
I think those two things are intertwined with him. I think it's his idea is helping the team is a fundamental element of what he is as a player, which is being the best player can be, which is the person who gets the most hits and sort of forgets everything else.
Well, let me pose it to you this way then. You think he would rather get the hit than walk?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he said that. He said, I'm not up there to walk. You think he was born in the Dominican Republic or something.
So, I mean, basically, it's his
persona is on the line. If he's up there to walk, you know, he's never up. No one's up. Rarely. But people are up there to on base. I don't think people are up there to walk because that's only part of the issue. They're up there to do something positive. Each year says, I'm not up there to walk means he doesn't. He'll take a walk. But for him, I think a walk is almost a failure. When he was a young kid in Japan, that was, you know, he'd walk 70 times a game, 70 times a year.
Hmm.
When he went to the States, it was like 20.
Yeah, I think the persona that has gone with him in the recent years, if you look at his numbers, is that, and like I said, I always bring this up, but it never shocks me after I went to visit and try to talk to him in Seattle in 2007, that one of his, it never shocked me that one of his teammates wanted to punch him and that report got out. You know, I guess you're saying basically it's more about him than it is about the team.
Hmm.
And I totally understand that.
And he's a guy who'll rip his teammates if he thinks they're not doing their job.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any problem with that.
Yeah. Well, obviously in Miami he's getting his at bats. I still don't think he's in line to get to 3,000 in the States, but
from what
I know about him, I think he'll stay there until somebody tells him to get out.
Well, I would too. I mean, if that's where I want to be, I'd be doing my best to stay on the field as long as I can. I mean, that's what people. That's human nature. That's not Ichiro. that's like. I mean, unless you're somebody who's got other more lucrative things that they want to do, you know, if they've got an image to protect. You know, and they can't play anymore, but I don't know. I mean, he does have an image to protect, but as part of his image is getting hits, and 3,000 is pretty cool, too. So he'll find somebody in the States who wants to try to cash in on his 3,000 hit.
All right.
So he'll keep getting opportunities to get that until he proves he's not going to get there.
Okay. All right. Making a seamless transition, we will now go to Jim's favorite annual JBW game, which is John's Floating Picks.
I don't think it drives me nuts because this idea that I'm jumping ship. But I mean, you know, we make our picks in March, and I mean, what I said March, I'm good with. I don't expect them to have a shelf life longer than a couple of weeks anyway. But
I didn't say Jim's picks. I said John's.
No, I think you're beating me. I think I used to beat you up about that, and it was sort of unfair because I don't, you know. I mean,
hey, it's war, man. It's fair.
Okay,
it's fair.
It's not war.
Plus, I can take it.
Okay.
Other people can't. I can deal with it. I know how to handle you, Jim Allen. What are you talking about?
Okay.
You can't hurt me.
Tell your wife where those bruises came from, man.
All right, so in the Pacific League, I had the Hawks and the Fighters and the Buffs making the playoffs at the Buffaloes. And it looks like the Buffaloes are out. And I think, you know, you look at the standings and, geez, they're really far behind. They're, what do you got, 18 and a half games out of first place.
Mm.
But they're only five games out of fourth.
Okay.
Now, if they start winning some games, they're obviously going to have to beat the teams ahead of them, and that'll push some of them back. And maybe they can get back in the race. I'm not going to rule them out. So, you know what? I'm not going to change my picks in the Pacific League like I usually do. I'm going to stick with what I said. But they've been an abject disaster, and I think the team is still well equipped to have a really good, like, let's say, 40-game stretch.
Okay.
And they can impact the standings, but I really like what the Lions are doing. I have to say, to this point, they've proven to be a playoff team. But this is the team I expected them to be, this is the team I expected last year.
Mm-hmm.
I expected them to have a good rotation of at least five guys and somebody else. Kishi, Makita, Kikuchi, Nogami, and Togami. I figured those guys were going to lead the rotation, and whoever they threw out there that sixth day was going to do okay for them whenever.
Hmm.
And so I thought they were going to be good last year, and they didn't. So they weren't. So I kind of got off of that ship. But I really like what they're doing, and I kind of expect them to be a playoff team this year.
Well, I did, and my picks were the. I don't remember if I had the Lions third or the Fighters third. I had them really close. But right now I have Hawks, Fighters, Lions in that order. I this is what I expect to finish now. And the three teams at the bottom, while the Buffaloes have the quality, their record is such an anchor against them right now.
Mm.
And the Marines, while they have the record right now, their quality is an anchor against them.
And the Eagles,
I don't see as having quality or a record. So I don't see. I think there's a huge divide between. There's a huge divide in this. Going to be a huge divide between first and second, and a huge divide between third and fourth.
Yeah, obviously we saw a surge from the Buffaloes last year in the second half, and somebody could probably do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be the Marines or the Eagles, but you know, we don't know if somebody's going to pick up another player, bring in some import players, and try to make a run or not. And the Hawks are just—they're just superior. They just have more talent. They have more pitching. They have more hitting. They have better defense. They're all around better. But I can see a team knocking them off in the playoffs, and actually, more so than the Fighters, I see the Lions as being a big obstacle in the playoffs because of that depth in their rotation, that they could actually send five guys out there and win with any of those five on any day.
It's possible, yeah.
More so than the Fighters. I just don't see the depth in their rotation.
Well, and the Lions have that offensive consistency. The Fighters are so dependent on Nishikawa and Nakashima getting on base, and those guys will do it over the course of a season, but I don't see it happening. You know, you never know what you're going to get every day when you open the can.
Yeah. Well, you do know what you're going to get when you open the can in Fukuoka, and it's good pitching. And even Hayato Terahata, a guy who's been kicked around and thrown around, he's been great for them in middle relief.
He has been. I think he's about ready. They're probably considering putting him on their 10-man farm team starting rotation. I think the Hawks are going to a situation where they'll have 10 starting pitchers and they'll just bring one up every day when they need them.
Well, you know what I told one of the beat writers the other day. I said, you know what they're doing is they're toying with the rest of the Pacific League, first of all. And they're also searching for the guys they want when the postseason rolls around, because they really, you know, we've seen this before in Fukuoka when they have a really good team and a really good regular season and they blow it in the playoffs. So they want to make sure the guys they stick out there in the postseason are going to get the job done. They're just searching. They're just playing.
Well, so far, the last couple of years, the Hawks have really struggled in the second half. And I don't see that happening. I think they're, you know, I'm willing to give the fact that that Kudo's gone all out for fitness and conditioning and communication, I think is going to help them. You know, the coaches have a lot more input in the process right now. Mm-hmm. They're allowed to speak up, and they were discouraged from speaking up when Akiyama was the manager.
Right.
So if they thought players, you know, there was that great example last year when Hasegawa shouldn't have been on the roster. Mm-hmm. You know, he was still recovering from a broken leg, mm-hmm. and he couldn't run. And they kept toying with the idea of, you know, they kept having him do batting practice instead of rehabbing, and kept toying with the idea of, you know, they were keeping him active and talking about using him as a pinch hitter, and he could barely run to first.
Yeah.
And you won't see that this year.
Good. Well, they've had no really big peaks, no really big valleys. They've just been steady and winning series and moving ahead, and I don't see any change for the second half for them. So let's talk about the Central League now. This is a hot mess. It's a real nasty.
It's a lump. I mean, it's a big lump.
We got no standout offenses, no great defensive teams, no great rotations. We got some decent pitching here and there, but it's a lot about what we've talked about, mediocrity merging with parity in a sea of general teams. I mean, there's just nothing standing out. So it's a bunch of close games, a lot of fan frustration. I think it's hard to watch. You know, you're rooting for your team and you see them produce one day, and then the next day they're completely shut down, and then the next day they're mediocre, and then they're good again. And it's Jekyll and Hyde every day. I think no lead is safe in some of these games, and no deficit is insurmountable. I think, you know, a lot of times you can be down 10 runs and still come back and win, or you can be up, you know, even if your team, I know you like the Swallows, I like the Dragons. If my Dragons are up 4-1 or 5-1 going into ninth, I'm still going to panic because anything could go wrong. And they've shown the propensity to have things go wrong for them. So,
propensity. Okay. Big word of the night. Propensity. Yes, and I'm not 100% I agree with you. I think what happens is, yeah, we have a couple of bullpens that we don't trust. And when I say a couple, I think Giants, Carp, Dragons. I think Dragons, yeah, those three. I think the Swallows, I'm pretty good with the Swallows. I'm pretty good with the Bay Stars. I'm pretty good with the Tigers.
And we didn't talk about this. I wanted to mention it when we were asked about the relievers. The thing about the Tigers is they've got Shinobu Fukuhara, who's good, but he's not great.
No.
And Osu Hwan, I think you can see this is a guy who used to just overpower batters in Korea. And he came here, and now he's actually got to overpower. I'm sorry, he's got to use the hard stuff, but he also has to locate. And when he's not locating and when he doesn't have other pitches to go to, he's very hittable.
Well, he's like other pitchers, yeah.
I mean, very. Maybe more so than some of the other guys, because all he does is throw the same pitch over and over, and he just tries to locate it. And if he's not,
he's
located,
pretty consistent enough.
But
that I think, yeah. Well, that's the same. I think with Yasaki Yamasaki, one of the guys who's the rookie of the year candidates.
Rookie closer for the Bay Stars. And I like him better because he can throw different pitches and work out of the zone because people are not sitting on one pitch for him.
Well, they're good eventually. Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to sit on a splitter that's out of the zone. You know, that's tough. You know, I'm going to try to hit that one that looks like it's going to be a strike, but I know it isn't because
Yeah,
so it's hard.
I'd rather send him to the mound right now than Oh. I tell you.
Okay.
That.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, I think as far as the bullpens go, I think the Giants keep running Yamaguchi out there, and think and cross your fingers and hope he doesn't. You know, this will be the game that he doesn't blow up. He's just really mediocre.
Yeah. Yeah. He's.
And Scott Matheson is not as consistent as he has been, and I don't know why. Is it hitters are making better adjustments? Is he have physical issues that he's not talking about? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is it just bad luck? I know he lost a, you know, he jammed, he lost in a jam job single the other day. So, you know, this happens. Those happen to everybody. But yes, I think overall he's been a little less consistent. Last year he was superb as the closer. But yeah, okay. So I'll go with that. I think. But to say the defenses are, none of them are really good. I think part of that is the Carp defense is not as good, although Kikuchi's great. The Cardinals defense as a whole is not as good this year. Well, and I think Tanaka is just not a really good defensive shortstop. He's got a good arm, but the other parts, you know, quickness on the double play, I don't think his first step's all that good. I don't think he has any range. Those two things. Kind of, you know, I don't think he has range, and I don't think he's really good in the double play.
Wow, I just feel like you balled him up like a little piece of paper and you just threw him away.
He's got a great arm, though, so if his positioning, which will get better, is going to help him out.
I don't know. But, I'm fine with his range. I'm not sure I agree with everything he said, but, you know, I have to watch him a little bit more live, but I like what he does defensively.
I think
when you compare him with the other guys around the league, I think he's in the upper echelon. I mean, the guys in the league.
It's not a good year for shortstop.
It's not a good year for defensive shortstop.
I mean, that's when true. Obiki is when the Central League Golden Glove, if he can keep playing enough, might be Obiki. Well, I think actually Sakamoto's having a decent year.
Yeah.
But and I think he'll probably end up winning the Golden Glove this year. But the Carp defense as a whole isn't as good. And I think that's the thing. I think the best defense in the Central League right now is with the Swallows. And that's kind of interesting, and that's unusual. That's, you know, old going back, and the Dragons aren't that good. So the teams that we expect to be really good, that have the big defensive tradition or were building the big defensive reputation, have not been getting it done. So the things we expected have not worked, and I think that's led to the perception that nobody's good. But I think it's the teams that are surprising us. So your predictions at this juncture are?
I'm not changing my picks.
Oh, well, you're not changing your picks.
I'm not changing any of my picks, not even in the Central League.
I'll try to pretend that I was actually listening, but it was the conversation shifted aside to something interesting you said, so I forgot the first word.
So you were paying attention.
Until something else
caught your attention.
You said something interesting. You did say something that really got me worked up there. So anyway, mine right now, I mean, I had originally the Carp, Swallows, and Dragons, and the only team, the team that I think, of course, the Dragons are the team that I don't think is going to make the cut. I have them now finishing fifth. My picks are now the Carp, the Giants, and the Swallows. I had the Giants originally last, and basically the Giants and the Dragons have traded places.
I still see
the Carp finishing first.
Yeah, I had the Carp, and I had the Swallows, and I had the Giants. And if I were a gambling guy, I would say Carp, Giants, Bay Stars right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to change my picks. I'm gonna hope the Bay Stars make it. You know, it would be really nice to see them in the playoffs and bring that atmosphere wherever they probably. You know, at this point, we can't say who's going to probably finish anything because it's all up in the air. But it. I did the story the other day. First time in 17 years that they finished at the All-Star break, or they're in first place at the All-Star break.
Correct.
And, you know, that's really good for them. And the last time that happened was the year that they won the Japan Series. So that's a good omen for them. And yeah, I could only hope that it happens. I mean, it would be nice if they had the first round of the playoffs at Yokohama. I think the fans would just lose their minds. They'd just go nuts, and it would be fun to watch. They do play some really fun games that are great to watch, win or lose.
Yeah, well, they have some fun players, and there's no doubt. I'm not a fan of the manager. I'm not a fan of
who's going to be sticking around. It looks like.
Yeah, wonderful. I got another year to kick Kiyoshi Nakahata around.
Yeah. Fun post-game interviews. That's all we've got time for. Nice game!
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, the media loves him. I mean, he basically gives them a little comedy act every, you know, twice a day before the game and after the game. And, you know, they've always got something to write, you know, something silly or something interesting that he says. He's got a great way with the language. He's enthusiastic and he's a lot of fun. And, you know, you got to love that. That he's a baseball manager is kind of a joke, but you know, he's not. He hasn't been the disaster that many of us thought he would be.
Well, maybe he's not in charge.
That's also could be true. But anyway, do I rate him highly as a manager? No, I think he's. I think some of the things. I again, we don't know who's making the decisions.
Exactly.
Okay.
But he's out there having a good time, making it fun for the fans, and that's important too.
Okay.
All right, transition, a four-seam transition to the All-Star Games. The game one was Friday at the Big Egg at Tokyo Dome, and the Central League actually swept both games, and they won on Friday 8-6 behind Shintaro Fujinami and Jose Lopez of the Bay Stars. Fujinami is the pitcher for the Hanshin Tigers, and then Shinnosuke Abe of the Giants. And it just seemed to me that it was Osaka Tōin night, honoring the grads from that high school. They were Pacific League had Tomoya Mori and Takeya Nakamura and Sho Nakata and Hideto Asamura batting 3-6th, and they all went to Tōin High School, and then Fujinami was a Tōin High School guy, and yeah, it was nice for that to happen. And it just made me think that night, remember how everybody, like the great players or a lot of the good players in NPB had come out of PL Gakuen?
Used to be, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be that, and now it looks like Tōin is the next place where a lot of guys are coming from, so I thought that was kind of interesting that.
Yeah, I used to have Kuwata and Kiyohara and Tatsunami and Kataoka from PL Gakuen and a number of others. Still got quite a few.
Right. So
Kenta Maeda.
Now, I trust that you did see this game.
I did see it.
Okay. Anything impress you? Anything stay with you from this one?
Yeah, it was surprisingly fun. I thought, of course, the odd thing about the All-Star game was who thought Hideaki Wakui was deserving of a chance to pitch. And I guess I tweeted that, you know, maybe there's a contractual obligation. The Pacific League's always trying to, you know, apologize for being better. That
right.
Maybe the Pacific League had gone to the game. Well, if we get a big league, we'll put Wakui in the game.
What? Okay. How do you define big league? Three runs in the fourth inning?
Yeah, whatever. Any kind. They had a two. They had a
4-1 lead.
4-2, and Nishi gave up a run, and then they brought in Wakui to seal the deal.
Okay.
And he sealed it with a kiss off the bat. Wow. So that was a fun. It was a fun game. Yeah, they hit him pretty good, and you know, as the Pacific League's kind of been hitting him pretty good frequently over the last few years, and less frequently this year. I mean, Wakui was pitching in his first All-Star game in 5 years, and for good reason. You know, and probably thinking, wow, we should have made it. Maybe waited till next year.
Yeah.
So, and it was fun. It was surprisingly more fun than I thought it was going to be. I have low expectations for All-Star games.
That we know about. And, you know, I really wasn't looking all that much forward to it, but I did like the confrontation between Fujinami and Mori of the Lions. And
because they were battery mates in high school.
And the pop-up was just amazing.
Yeah.
He throws a ball, about 97, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
Morty takes a healthy cut and hits the ceiling at Tokyo Dome with a pop-up on the infield. Never seen that.
Oh.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah. I haven't seen that in a while. With the juice balls, without the juice balls, we've seen less of those. I mean, it used to get to be a regular occurrence.
On the infield, I've seen some that kind of went up and went toward the outfield and then hit the ceiling and ended up being infield flies or closer to the infield than the outfield. But I've never seen one go almost straight up on the infield and then just come down like that.
Not get past first base.
Yeah, because he said he thought he actually hit it pretty good.
Well, I'll tell you, according to the rules, if he hit one of the lights or speakers or microphones that hangs from the roof, it would have been a home run if he'd hit it in fair territory.
I was going to say, he's got to hit it. Well, doesn't it have to come down?
Maybe no, the rules are if you hit the ceiling, the covering, it's not even the ceiling.
The poofy
fabric.
Canopy.
The fabric that's suspended from the ceiling, from the roof, I suppose. If you hit that, the ball's in play. But if you hit anything else that's suspended from the ceiling that's not made out of cloth, you know, a piece of equipment, you know, microphones or the antenna, or there's a little platform up there with lights and so on, speakers, and you hit any of that stuff in fair territory, it's a home run, even if you hit the one that's behind second base. So there you go.
All right. All right, so then game two was on Saturday, and that was at Hiroshima, in Hiroshima at Mazda, at the Zoom, I like to call it, Mazda Stadium.
We know you do. We know you do.
And Hiroki Kuroda gets to start his first All-Star appearance in 8 years. He throws two scoreless innings. He kind of had his problems in the second inning, and the bases were loaded, and he got out of it with a double play. Ginchan helped him out, Ginji Sumitani of the Lions.
That's what he's there for.
Grounds out to short and gets him out of that bases loaded, one out jam. And then Tsubasa Aizawa, the catcher of the Carb, he goes deep and gets the first run of the game. And he ends up being the MVP, the Central League sweep. They win 8-3. This time it was Ken Togame of the Lions who actually deserved to get the loss. And he gave up a bunch of runs, five runs, six total, on seven hits and a walk with a strikeout. But
and unlike Waku, you deserve to be in the game. So yeah, okay, so he takes the loss, I'm good, because he deserved to be there.
But he didn't. The loss went to Brandon Dixon.
Right.
Because he gave up the home run that put him behind. And man, you know, that's tough.
That is tough, but you know, that happens. I mean, again, it's an All-Star game. It's not going to go on your resume.
Yeah. Anyway, the Carp players did really well. The Maeda, he took over after Kuroda left the mound, and he pitched fairly well. And I think the most memorable thing for me from this game is that Maeda threw 38 pitches, all of them fastballs. And
well, that's All-Star stuff for you.
Yeah, but I mean, I would expect that from Ohtani or somebody who's trying to put up a record out there or something like that. But Maeda doesn't have the greatest fastball.
No, like that's just what, I think he was working on it. I think he wants to, you know, he knows that's really what's missing from his repertoire is locating his fastball. I mean, his fastball is fine. If he locates it, it's going to be superb. But it's like his number two pitch. It's the weak sister compared to the slider. And so I know he wants, that's the pitch he thinks he's going to, you know, he really needs to polish and polish. And, you know, he figured, well, why not do it at the All-Star game? Nobody gives a hoot.
So, Aizawa ends up being the MVP. And you know, Kenta Maeda throws 38 pitches, all fastballs, and he gets out of his innings with no runs scored. And after that, it was just kind of when the Central League actually piled the runs on and built up a lead, it just kind of got to be one of those stale situations to where I said, and this was after, I think, through five innings, it was 7-1. The Pacific League, Morty hits a home run and they get closer, but it got to that point where I'm thinking, okay, this is where I would normally check out.
Akiyama hit a home run, so that was kind of fun. He hit an opposite field home run.
Yeah.
And then Morty hit a home run, so that was the toe-in home run. And then we had another toe-in home run, since we're talking about Osaka toe-in.
And that would have been, Hirata.
Yosuke Hirata. And somebody on Twitter said, you know, maybe next year's All-Star game will be Osaka Toin versus the rest of NPB. And, you know, they could have a pretty good team.
Team, yeah.
Yeah, they're a little weak on defense in the outfield, because on that team, Hirata would have to play center. But he's done that.
Well, if Tatsunori Hara is the manager, he'll just get Suzuki to play center.
But he didn't go to Osaka Toin.
Well, it doesn't matter. That's the point.
Hashtag high heat.
Nor does he deserve to be an All-Star.
Fair enough. Wow. But, you know, a lot of the people, you know, and they I don't know if you saw the story that appeared in Yukon Fuji about Takahiro Suzuki and whether, you know, something that was undeserving. And I got some feedback about that story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, because I was interviewed for the story.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I know the story of which you speak, but I'm surprised that you got feedback.
Why? Because I posted the link on Twitter and
on
whatnot.
Twitter and
I
got, Facebook, and, yeah.
Yes. And I got people saying, but Suzuki is beloved. And for 20 years, you know, it said Suzuki playing on the All-Star game is the best thing about it. Okay.
What?
Yeah, so some people feel that way. You know what? And, you know, if you're a fan and you feel that way, good for you. I'm glad you have that opinion, and I'm glad you're happy, because this is for you.
It's true, and I really felt after both games, Hara, at least, at the very least, he said, look, this game is for you fans. You guys, this is what makes you happy. And I'm surprised you got feedback like that. That's really weird to me. So that just that surprises me about the modern day fan. But maybe it's your circle of friends. Maybe that's maybe more the reflection of
not nobody I know. Just somebody follows me on Twitter. So what can I say?
Wow.
But I read the comments on Yahoo, where it was linked to on Yahoo's baseball sports Japan Yahoo, and a lot of them were like that. A lot of them are, this is crazy. And then the other people said, yeah, but it's fun, it's interesting, and we love, you know, Suzuki is, you know, he's good at what he does. He, you know, and I was thinking, well, maybe they ought to have, you know, they have another position on the All-Star team, pinch runner.
No.
Why not All-Star pinch hitter? I mean, well, they've got middle reliever. Why not pinch runner? You know, so I mean, of course, I was chuckling when Suzuki got thrown out stealing third just before Hirata hit his home run.
I wasn't chuckling.
I actually. Was.
Yeah, I was thinking.
You were steaming?
Yeah, I'm like, well, why is this clown out here in the first place? This is the only thing he's supposed to be able to do, and he can't do that.
And that's the thing at the All-Star game. And he was smiling when he got caught out.
Yeah, he was giggling. He was having a great time. I'm like,
I'm going,
no.
Like, I know. That's what I'd like to get rid of. That's the part I don't like. But he's on, you know, if he's stealing bases, you know, and he's helping to win the games. Of course, he put him in. The way he used him was, A, I've got a big lead, and B, I'm trailing by two runs. You know, meaningless situations is where he used them. But, you know, it was soft for the fans. It was just a circus. And that's the part of the All-Star game I don't like.
Yeah, I was thinking my I just had this image of you gnashing your teeth at that point, saying, yeah, this is why I don't like these games.
No, I was saying, this is the point of having this guy, which is none. Yeah. You know, that's why I was chuckling, because I thought it was, you know, it was sort of like punishment. Of course, they should have a rule that he has to bat.
And then,
which is sort of like having, which is a tantamount to having Shingo Takatsu bat against Ichiro.
Well, yeah. I was telling somebody about that story. But the other thing is yeah, that's when you have to send up a pitcher to pinch hit for your position player.
Right.
Because it's Takahiro Suzuki. All right. one last transition here. One last note. And that is that Kazuo Matsui, who I spoke to on Wednesday, and I have to get this blog post done now that I've mentioned it, because I spoke to
you're
him.
Under the gun.
I'm writing a post about his transition year from infield to playing the outfield this year. And he is 10 hits away from 2,000 in his career. And I did ask him about that. And I'm sorry, in his career in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's already got 2,000 hits collectively between MLB.
Have they already given him the green jacket? Yeah.
I didn't ask him about that. You know, it was before I talked to Zealous Wheeler, and he was just about to go and hit, so it was a quick chat. But, you know, I don't know if he has his jacket, but he did mention that, hey, look, I'm already a member of the Golden Players Club, so it's not really a big deal. But people are making a big deal, so I guess, you know, when I get there, I'll consider. I'm paraphrasing the interview that I'm going to carefully translate when
Warning.
I sit down to do the
it's
blog
spoiler
post.
Spoiler alert.
But I'm looking forward to that for him. I think it's going to be really nice, and I'm really glad that he's still playing and that he's still productive and that he's a team leader, and I like what he's doing. He's setting a really good example for a lot of young players on that team. So I think he's a really good influence, and he can still hit.
Well, one of my memories of Kazuo Matsui was at the 2000 Nichibei Yakuya.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the special thing about that was Ichiro Suzuki couldn't play because he broke his hand. He was hit by a pitch in the end of one of the last games of the season, and it was having one of his second best season of his career. That started badly, but anyway, I digress. But anyway, Matsui was the star of the series, and people were going, "Who is this guy?" Because he was playing out of position. One day they had him at second. One day they had him in the outfield. Mm-hmm. And he made this circus catch in the outfield. I mean, just an incredible catch. And they're going, well, that guy looks like a Golden Glove outfielder. Says, no, he's a shortstop. He's never played the outfield. He never played shortstop until he was turned professional because he was a high school pitcher.
Mm.
And the major leaguers are going, whoa.
Yeah, yeah, he's still quite an athlete. I mean, you can tell even the way he moves and the way he goes about his toss batting and all the other stuff, that he's really a special athlete. So I'm thinking he's going to get it in a couple weeks, because he's not really playing every day and he's not really hitting all that great. But when he gets there, we will talk about his place in the pantheons of NPB.
How did I know you were going to say pantheon?
Because you know me, buddy. Because you know I'm sleepy. Probably you were dreaming about it this morning when I was sitting here awake waiting for you to call.
It's a pantheon of my dreams. No, I thought the percentages of you saying pantheon were definitely higher than propensity today, but not a lot.
All right. Well, we do have a question, but we have run out of time to answer it, because we need to give it the time that it deserves.
Absolutely,
it's a good question, and we don't want
to. It is a good question.
We don't want to zip through it, so it's a good question. So we'll have that one next week. But if you want to send a question as well, send it to ykyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at #HighHeat at JBW Podcast, or go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Look for us on iTunes. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
Thanks for listening.
One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.